Welcome to Beyond from YVR, the Vancouver International Airport. I'm your host, Tamara Vrooman, President and CEO of YVR. YVR is located on the traditional territory of the Musqueam people. And we have a deep and lasting commitment to reconciliation. And I'd like to pay my respects to elders past and present. The goal of our show is to go beyond, because that's where we need to be right now. If there is something the pandemic has taught us, it's that we need to go beyond the surface to tap into new ideas and innovations that will lead the new economy, and to hear the stories and experiences that shape leaders in unexpected ways. We're bringing in special guests all season to go beyond their resumes and enter into a new way of doing things. As an airport, we support and rely on innovation. That's evident in our new innovation hub, a learning ground for the latest ideas and innovation. On today's episode of Beyond, we're talking to Steve Wilson. Steve is one of the minds behind BCIT's Center for Digital Transformation. Today, we're going to talk to Steve about digital transformation, what it means for people, for companies, and for the public sector. We're also going to hear about his lifelong commitment to learning and how it led him on an unexpected path to where he is today. Welcome, Steve.
No, thank you very much for having me today.
So digital transformation is a phrase that I hear all the time these days. As somebody who's really spent a lot of time thinking and working in this sector, tell me a little bit about what digital transformation is.
So digital transformation, essentially what it is, it's taking the normal processes that a lot of organizations have right now and adding the technology component to them. And it is kind of the catchword. We've heard about it more and more, particularly over the last year and a bit with COVID. It's kind of been the go-to phrase that everybody's getting excited about. And it's like we couldn't have digital transformation happen fast enough. But it's really, when you think about the technology side of it, more to that, when you think about digital transformation, it's really about people. And when I like to talk about digital transformation, it's how can we use technology to improve people's lives? For example, a good example I use is parking lots. Students that come to BCIT, for example, like now they could spend, 20, 30 minutes going around the parking lot looking for free space. If you add digital transformation to that and the technology component, what you're doing there is have an app, for example, or you can have a wayfinding system. And so they come into the parking lot, it alerts them right away where the next available spot is. So the efficiencies are improved, less time for the student, they can go directly to the class, it improves their overall experience. And there's also the environmental impact that's reduced because you don't have someone driving around endlessly in the parking lot. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what digital transformation is, and you can take that across just about any type of industry and use the same type of concept.
So that's a great definition of digital transformation. It almost sounds too good to be true. It solves all of our daily problems. But most important, what I heard you say there is it's actually not about digital nor transformation, but about people. How do you see the role of people and the role that people play in people's perspectives in the change that we see in technology and digital transformation?
People are first and foremost. Anytime we talk about digital transformation, and I say this repeatedly over and over again to people, I guess the sexy word is digital transformation, but it's about people, improving people's lives. That's what it really comes down to. At the end of the day, if that technology is not something that's going to benefit people, it's not something that we should be using or looking at. So it really comes down to how looking at people first, talking to them first. What are their current frictions, for example, in their daily lives? How can we implement technology to improve their lives? And there again, it could be something as simple as an app to help them with their guidance and their daily activities. It could be automation. We think about some of the items we use in industry right now, implementing those types of things. Efficiencies, we think about vehicles. Mining, for example, one recently talked to a mining company. They talked about their trucks going back and forth out of the site and the amount of fuel they were using. Well, we can implement technology on top of that to see where the efficiencies are so we can actually reduce that overhead cost. So there's lots of different examples we can use the technology.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot that you said there about making things more efficient and letting the technology do some of the hard work so that people can focus on the things that are important to them in their daily lives. Or, of course, we can make sure we're getting the best value from our people in organizations and companies. And speaking of people, you're now dedicating your work and your time to the British Columbia Institute of Technology, BCIT, through the Center for Digital Transformation, the C4DT. So tell me a little bit about the center and what it's like to be working at BCIT and with that great population of young people who are, as we say, really familiar with digital technology, digital natives, grown up with digital technology. They're not so much seeing the transformation, it's part of their daily lives. What are you seeing that's really exciting you at the Center for Digital Transformation and with BCIT and its students?
Yeah, so the digital transformation we started about 2 years ago. I was brought into BCIT as an consultant under the vice president's team and looking at what were some of the efficiencies we could improve at BCIT, where the programs currently were, looking at different schools, talking with industry. Took all the information, went back to the senior leadership team and said, well, this is kind of the things we should be looking at. And that's kind of where the Center for Digital Transformation came out of that. And it's really, it does two things, or three things with the BCIT. It really brings all the schools together, looking at cutting edge leading technology projects that we can work together on. So it builds that communication, that collaboration between faculty, industry, and students. But it also improves, if you think about where technology currently is, BCIT provides that opportunity to think forward. Where are we going to be in 5 or 6 years from now? Where are we going to be in 10 years from now? If we think about smart campus strategy, for example, what's that going to look like? From a student's perspective, it's really about improving their overall experience at BCIT. So there again, if we think about the technology from everything from parking to them going into a classroom to the point where they can even change the environment around their actual seat. If it's too hot, it's too cold. They can schedule meetings with professors online. Wayfinding system to help them navigate the institutions more. And then one of the other aspects with BCIT is because we have 5 different campuses, we can use technology as part of the Center for Digital Transformation. And now we've brought all those campuses together. So it's really helped us improve that sense of community overall.
That's fascinating around a campus environment, because of course what we're hearing a lot from university and post-secondary students is they've been at home because of the pandemic. They've relied on technology to connect, but they're missing a lot of the culture and the in-person part that is so valued. And what you just described there with BCIT's Smart Campus project is a little bit of the reverse, isn't it? Where we make sure that all of the human energy goes into the contact and the learning and the collaboration, but the things that can consume our daily energy, like finding where to park and making sure you're in the right room and got the right seat with the right textbook and information in front of you, is done for us through digital technology. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would even go one step beyond that to say that I don't want to improve students' overall experience when they come to BCIT, when they think from an educational perspective and they go into industry. I want them to come through the door of BCIT and be inspired. I want them to see the latest and the greatest in technology and provide them the opportunity to kind of think outside the box and how can I use this outside of work? What are the opportunities that lay ahead when I think about sustainability and the future and the issues that we're currently facing in society? Like, I want to provide them with that catalyst, that ability to look beyond. And I think BCIT is in a position now with the Center for Digital Transformation and the new Smart Campus Initiative that we've just currently launched. I think we're going to be front and center when we look at that going forward.
Yeah, so we've been talking a lot about digital transformation and how it's applied in a university or a post-secondary setting or in a business setting. What about in the broader public sector or even a city context? You know, I can think of situations where we've got, for example, a lot of large trucks or at a big construction site for a municipal project. How do we use digital technology for things that improve safety, for movement of people of goods, interaction between different populations in a geographical space? Talk to us a little bit about the public sector applications for digital transformation.
So many different applications there. I could spend all day talking about this. We think, I mean, smart cities, we've heard about smart cities for years now. BCIT has just recently started the new Smart Campus Initiative, one of the first in Canada. So much opportunity. If you think about where we currently are in cities and infrastructure, and a lot of that's aging. So there's a lot of concerns right now. If you think about, like, even water systems, for example, it's not only the fact that we've got aging infrastructure, but there's also the security aspect of it. Like, what's currently on the system from a technology standpoint? Is it secure? How's that information, that data being protected? Is it something we have to worry about hackers coming on and getting access to it? So that's one aspect of it. That's where transformation can really look at how we can improve that and make it more secure. Same with people and overall how they go through a city. If you think about what we're doing at BCIT and what YVR has done with the digital twin, you can do the same thing with any city. You can make a digital twin of that city and you'll see how it functions before it's even built. One project we're looking at right now in the shipping industry is with a digital twin of a ship before it's even constructed in the dry dock. So what you can do with that is you already know how it's going to operate, how it's going to function. You can actually have people trained up in that digital environment using virtual reality so they can do simulations from emergency or closed confined quarter response, fires. So you have a, for example, that's got shipping containers that have caught fire. You can train on all that before it ever happens. So you've got cost efficiencies. Basically, now when the ship is constructed, the crew's ready to go because they've already been trained up on the infrastructure. Same thing with, you can do with the cities. When it's already in a digital format, you can see how the flow of traffic is going to work. What are some of the changes that have to be made moving forward? What's the life cycle going to be like? When do things have to be maintained? What's, you think about buildings, how are they going to impact the overall environment? It can be the sustainability. Pollution, for example, there's so much application you can do with that. On a smaller scale, if you think about just a building, for example, we've had smart lighting for years now. You know, when people leave the room, the lights automatically go down. That's one example, but they go so much further beyond that. If you think about Comfy app, Siemens, for example, like you can actually change the environment around your own work cubicle. You can make it hotter or colder. You can raise and lower the desk. I mean, it's amazing what technology you can do now.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you on what a digital twin can create, either for a city or an airport or a post-secondary campus. You know, having a full digital replica literally allows us to see things in and predict things in ways that that we hadn't been able to before, exactly as you outlined there. But I also think it gives us an opportunity to customize and personalize at a level and an efficiency that wasn't possible before. So far from making everything the same, like some of those dystopian movies we've seen about technology in the past, it seems to me that what you're suggesting is digital transformation has the ability to empower, connect, and personalize in a way that elevates people's individual experience and diversity in a way that strengthens our public spaces and our cities and
absolutely.
Our communities.
Yeah, and that's how it's called microservices. And it's already in the UK and Europe are starting to see it. And it's probably a couple of years off, but it's going to be more and more mainstream. And it really is about personalized individual experiences. If you think from a student's perspective, it's no longer cookie cutter. You know, this is the program. This is how many credits. This is how many years it's going to take. You design your own education. You design your own career, your ongoing learning. Arizona State's got a great example. They've gone beyond talking about lifelong learning, and they call it universal learning. And they're talking about personalizing a person's education, is one example, from elementary right through to retirement. So just that university stint, 4 years, is just a small portion of the bigger picture that technology is going to allow us to capture. And there's beyond that, like if you think about the experiences now that technology enables, if you think about virtual reality and being able to pretty much go anywhere in the world and have that experience with actually having to actually physically go there. And there's some cost savings to that. But the other side of it as well, like just about anything you can possibly imagine becomes possible with technology.
Here at YVR, we're very excited to be partnering with BCIT at the Center for Digital Transformation. There's a lot in what you say that applies to an airport as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the partnership and what it looks like from your point of view and why partnering with YVR is important to BCIT?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that came out of my initial research when I was brought into BCIT was the fact that we need to be engaging industry more. The partnership with YVR is a great example of that. We're looking for opportunity for students. With YVR, we have the Center for IoT. Johnny Bassan is currently a lead of that. He's already starting some projects, I believe, at YVR with students that have been involved. There's also the ongoing project around the digital twin. So when you're basically taking the entire infrastructure and you're putting it into a digital format. So think about all the opportunities to not only collect data and analyze and find efficiencies, but opportunities for students to, as I was saying earlier, kind of think outside the box and how can we possibly use this to improve what we're currently doing. So lots of exciting things there.
One of the things that we've talked about here at the airport is we think about how travel is going to return post-pandemic is the fact that so many people have, of course, got used to studying from home, to your point about BCIT, working from home in terms of all the remote working, but also increasingly having experiences through digital technology and virtual reality where you can have a travel experience right from your couch. Where do you see digital transformation taking us? Do you think I have to worry at YVR about being out of business because we're only going to want to experience things through digital technology? How do you see the intersection between people and the human experience and what technology enables?
For me, honestly, I see a combination of both. And I call it hybrid, and I like to use the word common ground. And I think that's where we're heading. And that's where I think we need to be from a technology perspective and a people perspective. And it's the best of both worlds. And to put that into context, if you think about BCIT with the five different campuses, if I was to have the Center for Digital Transformation have a leadership team meeting, I'd have to get everybody together, organize that. Everybody would have to travel to one central location. So COVID is throwing that a complete 180, and now everything's been virtual. And now we're coming back to a combination of both. And I think what we'll see, and we're starting to see a little bit now, is people want that option to kind of do both. And I think there's an added benefit to it. You get the person-to-person contact, but you also have the ability to use technology to improve the efficiencies in your daily life. And it's very similar to travel, for example. Like I could go online and see what Dubai looks like if you think about the new Dubai Expo. And that's all great, but I still want to travel there and get that actual experience. So it's where we're going, I think, is going to be that hybrid, an opportunity to do a bit of both.
So is every part of our life and every business going to be affected by digital transformation?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no going back. And if anything, I think there'll be more of a push for digital transformation. It's really about digital first. I mean, we've talked about that for years. COVID has really kind of thrown that first and foremost when we think about economic recovery. Digital transformation is going to be a huge part of that. And it's so important, not only from an organizational standpoint where they currently are in their digital infrastructure, but also from the employee's perspective, lifelong learning, and making sure that they always have that opportunity for ongoing training, upskilling, reskilling, becoming more digital literate. So some of the skills and the new technologies that are coming online.
Yeah, we certainly see that in our business. Our folks that are so expert at managing our airport and attending to all of the sophisticated equipment and machinery that goes into running an airport increasingly are relying on technology and data to monitor, to give evidence of when things are working, to predict even better when they're going to fail, and to find ways of using that equipment in a way that supports the kinds of things that we know are important to people, increasingly efficiency, connectivity, but now post-pandemic, health, well-being, wellness. Speaking of health, a lot has been spoken about the fact that the pandemic, because of the significant changes that we've been going through, which definitely were there pre-pandemic, but really accelerated through the pandemic, and the different ways of working, and the commitment to lifelong learning and staying ahead of all this digital transformation, that stress and mental health is becoming associated a little bit with digital transformation and technology. How do we de-stress and focus on the health and wellness aspects of digital transformation?
I really think that that's something that where you can't use technology. I think that's really important to have empathy, that person-to-person perspective, particularly from a leadership standpoint. It's fine to have the online engagements and the Zoom meetings, but I think it's really, really important to have those one-on-ones and have that face-to-face time. I think it's really important to understand what people are going through. And I've certainly seen this myself over the last year. When you think about digital transformation, it's, you know, more and more people from industry and even the academic world are coming and say, we need to be a part of this. But the other side is, what individuals have been going through over the past year, how much can they handle? Like, is this really beneficial for them right now? Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But at the end of the day, it's really about that communication piece. And that's where, I think anyways, where we have that common ground with the technology. It's that extra layer of communication openness. I think that's a good thing going forward. I think it's important.
You're listening to Beyond, a podcast from Vancouver International Airport. I'm your host, Tamara Vrooman. Our guest today is Steve Wilson from BCIT. Steve is a digital transformation expert but he didn't get into the field in the way you might expect. I love the fact, listening to you speak, Steve, that you're pursuing a PhD in digital transformation. You've obviously dedicated your professional life to the pursuit and really excellence in both education and the pursuit of digital transformation in both the public and private sectors. Yet the majority of our conversation has been about people. It hasn't been about the digital technology at all. You got your start in this area from a very people-centered approach as well. Could you tell us a little bit about how you came to see digital transformation in the way that you do, and how come you're so absolutely positive and committed to a piece that, frankly, I think is often missing, which is the reason we have digital transformation is to be in service of people.
Absolutely. And it's interesting. I never even thought about it from the perspective of being really people focused, but that's really about what policing was. It's about walking the streets, talking to people, building those relationships with community. And it's interesting because that's where my career started with law enforcement. And then the technology all of a sudden kind of came out of nowhere when I got really involved with the fraud and the economic crime. And then we saw the transformation of technology with a lot of the scams. And so I was getting more involved in that space. And it's just kind of evolved from there. But it's true to what you said. It's still about people at the end of the day. It's about how can we help people? And, when you think about scams now and what the amount of money people are losing online, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And particularly if you think about the elder abuse and the romance scams and people with lockdown because of COVID, that's part of that whole technology piece that's making people aware of what the risks are associated with that. But at the end of the day, it's still about people. It's about helping people.
So tell me a bit about your PhD thesis.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. You had mentioned that my PhD being in digital transformation, and it really does go back to the people side of it. And the reason I say that is because the more and more that I've done research, when we think about technology and the transformation that we're undergoing, it's still the people side that's being missed. And so my thesis is actually on what's called sense making. And it's really, if you think about any organization that's going through a digital transformation, very similar to innovation, more often than not, most of them fail. And so why do they fail? It's because there's that disconnect. We always have this idea that technology is going to save us, and we forget about the people behind that technology. And that's why it's so important to step back and have that sense making, which is really saying to people that are part of this, like BCIT, for example, how is this beneficial to you? How is this going to help you? Do you understand what we're doing here? Does this make sense to you? Are we doing something wrong? Engaging people in that process as things develop. So you're doing a couple things there that are really beneficial. One is you're engaging people, building that sense of community. Extremely important. If you're trying to change the culture, that has to be done. If that's not done, there's no technology in the world that's going to change your organization. But once you've got that and you start to get some quick wins, and it could be something as simple as having online communications between different schools, different campuses, for example, you're starting to get those small, quick wins. And those are the catalyst that kind of build larger wins and change the organization overall. And it's not something that happens overnight. It takes a couple of years. And so that's kind of what my focus, my thesis is really, even though it's technology centered and it's about the whole change at BCIT, if we think about the technology and digital transformation, but it really comes down to changing the culture of the organization and engaging people.
So sense making, that's very interesting. So it sounds like it's all about connections, making sure we're connecting people to the technology. Is there something in your research then around sense making that really is starting to come to the fore around what works when it comes to sense making? Or are there examples that we can talk about, you can think of, that are about where sense making has really made a big difference or where its absence has really caused some real problems?
Honestly, one of the reasons that my main focus has been on sense making is the fact that it's absent in a lot of the literature and what's been doing in leadership. So we're starting to see it more and more. MIT has just recently released a paper on sense making. And it really is the catalyst and what's been missing. And it gets missed because we think sense making, what does that mean? It's really, it's understanding what's going on. But we get so busy and caught up in our daily lives that we really don't take the time to step back and say, what is going on? What are we going through right now? Where are we going a year from now? trying to make sense of that and then tying in the technology to improve that and building it around the people. So it's the communication, it's the collaboration, it's the organizational overall moving forward and having everybody a part of that transition. So important.
Does somebody do this really well? You know, often when we talk about digital technology, and now we're talking about really the best of digital technology and transformation, which is connected to people, which is human-centered, which allows people to make sense of the change that they're about to face and use technology to navigate through. We often think about big companies. You know, we think about Facebook, we think about Amazon, we think about Microsoft. Is there a role for smaller companies and smaller organizations and smaller initiatives to contribute to the overall understanding we have with digital transformation?
Absolutely. In fact, I would say that it's actually easier to get the buy-in and the understanding for smaller organizations. What I've seen in my research and some of the consulting engagements I'm involved with is the larger the organization you get involved with, the more history, hierarchy, internal, external politics, those are more difficult to get that engagement and the buy-in, because then you're really looking at the culture of the organization overall. Some classic examples that I hear all the time when I'm doing my research is, this is the way it's always been. Good luck. We've heard this before. You know, I love what you're doing. Great idea. It was nice knowing you. It's just, and it's overcoming that. But at the same time, when I've done some of what we call engagement sessions or town halls or online sessions where we're telling people about what we're trying to do in the organization, we get those little sparks of energy, of fire, that come back to me offline or meet me in the hallway and stop and say, I really love what you're doing. This is awesome. Please don't stop. Don't give up. It's kind of like this is so needed, but we know it's not going to be easy to do. So those excite me, because that's really where you see that change happening.
Yeah, I can hear the passion in your voice when you talk about the empowerment that's created when we really pursue digital transformation in this human-centered, almost democratic, it sounds to be, in
Absolutely.
What you're saying,
yes.
way, where we re-engage right through an organization to allow digital technology to solve the problems and enable the capacity of the people who work there, but also, of course, the business or the product or the service that's being delivered. So if you think about YVR and you think about the fact that digital transformation is about sense making. It's about connecting people. Certainly our business is all about connections. We connect family members to one another. We connect people to new education opportunities or business opportunities. We connect businesses, goods with different markets. We're all about connections. And digital transformation offers us huge opportunities to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of those connections. What advice do you have for us to do it in a way that is human-centered, that puts people at the heart of it and allows us to do the work of sense-making?
If I had to be quite honest, I think this podcast is a big part of that. It's bringing the human element to leadership. For example, if you're walking YVR and you're talking to people working at the kiosks, building those relationships, meeting people by first names, it seems insignificant, but it's not. People remember that. And that's the sense-making, that's the catalyst that kind of gives you that opportunity to say, where are we going next? What's it going to look like? What do you think it should look like? And those are really, really important when you think about bigger transformations.
When I hear you talk, Steve, about digital transformation, I can't help but feel positive about the future and about the future with digital transformation at the heart of it. But, you know, a lot of people are afraid of digital transformation, and there's been a lot of negativity and there's a dark side of going digital. Can you talk a little bit about your experience and your research in terms of some of the fears people have that digital transformation is going to eliminate thousands, hundreds of thousands of jobs, or eliminate the things that we love around human connection, or take over and start to make decisions in a way that aren't connected to values and diversity and the things that are really important to us as people and community? How do you respond to some of the challenges that have been raised about the implications of digital transformation?
When you mention that, it really reminds me of what I've heard a lot about when you think about artificial intelligence and robots taking over people's jobs, automation. And, you know, I've been hearing the same type of argument for years. And there again, a lot of these come for larger organizations and got large staff that they have to take care of. And they're concerned about bringing robotics and trying to improve those efficiencies. But what's missing there again, when you think about that's that communication piece. It's really telling people what it is. Typically, when you think about a manufacturing organization and all of a sudden they're going to bring robotics onto the manufacturing line, typically where I see it fail, there's no communication. It's basically, this is what we're doing. All of a sudden they show up for shift and there's this robot helping them with it. And it's cool initially, but everyone's back in the lunchroom going, all right, who's the first one to go? And it's not like that. The reality is it takes so many more people to run this equipment, run this technology. And there's so many other opportunities. It may free up someone's time from filling a box, then they can go off and do something else they want to do. There's so much more opportunity to come to it. It's just that that communication piece is missing. And so that's, if you think about digital transformation again, like even at BCIT, once we kind of have an idea of where we want to go from a Smart Campus perspective, it's really important to communicate that, to let the community overall at BCIT know, this is what we've done, this is who we've talked to. If you have any input, please let us know, and engage them all the way through that process. And it's the same thing with artificial intelligence, quantum computing. I mean, it's all very, very exciting, but the problem is it's a lack of communicating what exactly is happening and people's understanding of it. It's always that default back to the worst case scenario, but it's definitely something that can be overcome.
We're so privileged to have BCIT in our community and a part of our province. How do you think the digital transformation is going to be successful here in BC? What do you see in the local market that makes digital transformation a positive part of the economic and the growth, really, of our region?
I really think digital transformation is first and foremost, when we think about economic recovery in British Columbia, not only just BC, like Canada overall. COVID and just, you know, sustainability and environmental concerns have just really impacted some of the biggest industries in BC. And it's so important that we now kind of step back a sec and take a look and say, okay, how can we now transform ourselves to be more future focused? From mining, for example, we're starting to have conversations with mining companies about efficiencies. Forestry, for example, they can use drones now to make sure that there's, you know, the waste is reduced. They can see how much stumpage is being left in the ground and they can manage that more efficiently. Education, for example, online learning, it's now here to stay. When you think about organizations, what do they currently have in place when you think about lifelong learning? Is there a plan in place? I had a call with an organization last week and they said, well, what do you think is the best thing to do? I says, well, two things. Let's engage your entire organization, and each unit may have something that may be important to them from a digital literacy ongoing learning opportunity. Make Fridays, every Friday is that day, and make it part of that. And they've done nothing past, so this is one of their projects they're moving forward. And even though it's only been an initial email and some thought conversation, it's already, they're getting buy-in from people because they're like, this is really exciting. Like, they're actually, a lot of people still not comfortable using Zoom. So Fridays, it's not something you have to do in your home. Part of our day at Fridays, we're going to spend some time learning the technology. I mean, that's where it all starts, right?
Really focusing on connecting people, demystifying technology, putting it in hybrid models where it can do its highest and best use. But above all, allowing people to make sense of the change and what digital technology can do for them. Steve, it's been wonderful to chat with you here today. Thanks so much for sharing your wisdom and your insight. You're definitely the most people-friendly tech expert I've come across in a very long time. It's been my pleasure to chat with you here
today.
Thank
you very much. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks again to our guest today, Steve Wilson. And thanks to all of you for listening to Beyond from YVR. This show is brought to you by YVR. The show producer is Nathan Atnikoff, edited by Diego Domine, with audio production by Jar Audio. Remember to subscribe to Beyond in your favorite podcast app for more conversations, diverse perspectives, and ideas about how we can all go beyond.